Recorded has now started. You may now proceed.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the council call on the 24th of September. And shall I go and do a roll call, Jonathan?
Yes, please.
On the call, we have on the call and on the Adobe Connect, we have Brett Fawcett, Donna Austin, Jonathan Robinson, James Blade is absent and has given his proxy to Volker Greiman, Yohef Karen and Volker Greiman, Thomas Rickett is absent, and Jonathan Robinson holds his proxy. Is that in order with you, Jonathan?
Yes, thank you.
Philip Corwin, we have not yet Susan Kawaguchi. Yes, Susan Kawaguchi is on the line. Brian Winterfeld, Heather Forrest, Oswaldo Nova, I don't see him yet on the line, but he holds the proxy for Tony Holmes, who is absent today too, with apologies. Marilia Maciel, Amar El Sadar, David Cake, I do not yet see on the line. David, if I've missed you, please speak up. Edward Morris, Avery Doria is absent and has given her proxy to Stephanie Perrin. Stephanie, are you on the line or on the Adobe Connect? I do not see you yet. Dan Reed, and we have apologies from Carlos Gutierrez, who cannot be on the call, but he is the NCA non-voting member. Patrick Miles has sent his apologies. And Amar says that he thought Carlos had Thomas's proxy. No, because Carlos is unfortunately not able to be on the call, Amar. For staff, David Olive sends his apologies, but he can't be on the call. We have Marika Corning, Julie Headland, Mary Wong, Lars Hoffman, Steve Chang, and we have Larissa Gernick, Nora Abushita, and David Cake has just joined the call. Thank you, Jonathan, and that is over to you.
Thanks, Glenn. So we have a full agenda today, and so we'll work through that right away. We can get on with that. So item 1.2, as is always the case, is an opportunity to provide an update to your statement of interest, which should be recorded and available in any event. So any updates to statements of interest? Okay, seeing none. Any comments or points on the agenda, including items you might wish to raise under any other business? Okay, so you have seen the agenda previously published. We note the status of the minutes for the previous council meeting of 3rd of September will be posted and approved on 26th of September. Amma, please go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amma. I was actually going to ask if it's okay under any other business if we could possibly just spend a minute or two talking about the JNSO Council chair elections. Thanks.
Sure, I'll put a note on that. Thanks. Okay. The opportunity now exists under item 2, then, to go through and just check off anything on our running list of open items, action items, and so on. We don't deal with the that's actually the project list that's up on the screen at the moment. So the list of actions is up on the screen now in front of you, and we have an opportunity to review those. The first item deals with the planning for the Dublin meeting, and since this isn't an item on the main agenda, I'll just pass over to Volker if you would like to make any remarks or comments on this. Volker, I think it sounds like it's going reasonably well at this stage. Any comments or points you'd like to make?
Not really. We're, like you said, we're making good progress on the agenda, and I'm not sure if we have the finalized agenda yet to be distributed yet. I think we still need a few confirmations, but the draft agenda, I think, could already be sent out. It's already in a very good stage. And with the invaluable assistance of Glenn, we've got there in time again. So that's something that we that you should be seeing on the list very soon. We have the usual events, the updates, the meetings for the GDD with Fadi, everyone that we're usually meeting. And again, if you have any topic that you would like to bring raised during those meetings, please inform me privately or on the list so that we can include them and inform our guests of the meetings, of the topics that we're expecting to discuss. That's about it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Volker. And I'll expect that you'll raise your hand if you do have any points, questions or points on these items as we go through. With respect to the work on the CWG on enhancing accountability, that work we'll come to in the body of the main agenda. In fact, Thomas Rickett is not available today, and his co-chair, Leon Sanchez, has kindly agreed to update us on an area that's developing rapidly. The next open item is the work on the outstanding IGO, INGO, PDP recommendations. And I understand there's no change or particular update on that at this stage. We are where we were previously, unless someone corrects me on that. So I'm not going to dwell on that for the moment. There are numerous items that we've managed to complete, and I'm not gonna, you can see those for yourselves on the list. I'm not going to read them out specifically. Looking at the item on the GNSO liaison to the GAC, we are going to get some. We're going to work on some dates for that. It's worth noting that we also wanted some. I think we asked for some report back from the GAC GNSO consultation group on any suggestions for evaluation of the role. As it happens, the group was supposed to meet, the consultation group, this week, but there were numerous conflicts and difficulties, so that meeting has been postponed until next week. So we wait to see that, and I think there's, so this item will be updated shortly, both with the dates and we can a provision of an update from the consultation group. And I note in the chat that Mary does confirm, Mary Wong from staff confirms that there is no update on the outstanding IGO, INGO, PDP recommendations at this stage. We've published the GNSO Council chair election procedure. I note that there's a request to raise an element of that in under AOB, so we'll come back to that. An open, an ongoing item to keep an eye on developments in the IETF, and as they might relate to the work of the GNSO, and that's got David Cakes' name next to it. Checking if we have an update on the curative rights protection in the main agenda for this, escaping me for a moment. I don't think we do this, or do we have it? Fine. So is there any updates that, Philip, you would like to make? I mean, we've heard from you on this in the last couple of meetings, but I see it's not on the main agenda. So let me make
sure. This is Phil. I'd be glad to speak to it for a moment.
Go ahead. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah. I wish I had better news on this, but when we discussed this in Buenos Aires, We actually thought we might be close to a final report by Dublin, but our working group is increasingly frustrated and stuck in place. The problem is in securing a legal advisor with expertise on the accepted scope of sovereign immunity for IGOs. With the assistance of staff, we located three experts who were interested. We about 2 weeks ago asked for formal proposals. One came back and said he was unable to deal with the scope of all the questions we had. There's only about four questions. It's not horribly complicated, but it requires expertise and knowledge. Another said that his schedule had fold up and he was now not able to do it in any kind of near-term way. And the final one could do it and had the expertise, but estimated that it would cost three to four times the amount that ICANN had budgeted for legal input. It's not a large amount that they have budgeted. I don't want you to think it's six figures or anything. So that person suggested another academic at a D.C. university law school, and we're exploring that. But we, this group simply cannot proceed responsibly and complete its work without that legal expertise. We simply can't make it up on our own. Staff had suggested we might look at narrowing the questions, but there's only, as I said, there's only four of them, and it's the questions that the group felt it had to be answered. The other frustration is I had informed you that we had gotten notice that there was a meeting in Paris in mid-July involving the chair and some other GAC members, some IGOs, a board member or two, and others, and we've been waiting 2 months for a telephone conference to get a download of what happened at that meeting. And in August, we were told that because of vacation schedules, that wasn't possible. But now it's almost the end of September, and staff has still been unable to arrange for us to get a call so that we know what that group is thinking of doing. So I wish I had happier news. It's very frustrating. I'll be joined in Dublin by Petter Rinforth, former council member and my co-chair, to report on whatever happens in the next 3 weeks. But it's my unfortunate duty to report that we've made zero progress since Buenos Aires for lack of being able to receive the legal expertise and advice that's essential to our work.
Thanks, Philip. The former is somewhat more understandable than the latter. I'm really amazed that you can't at least just get an update on what went on at that meeting in Paris. But anyway, I'm sure you'll continue to persist.
We are continuing to press for it.
Yeah. All right. I think that was clear and understood, if somewhat disappointing to be no further. Next item is a letter from a response to the ICANN board chair, and thanks to those of you who responded on list and for the help that I got in drafting that. So that's gone off, and actually you'll remember that part of that was requesting any update and on the development of the public interest framework, and to that extent, or at least connected to that, Nora is with us this evening, so or the evening my time at least, in order to give us an update later on the agenda, so we will come to that. So I think that deals with the action item list, and the document that was flashed up earlier, the project list, I would encourage you to be aware of that and make sure we don't give it a lot of attention in the council meetings, but staff diligently do maintain that and keep that up to date as a summary of the work that's going on. If you ever need that, or you need to use that as a device to explain the sort of myriad activities that are going on under the sort of overall management of the council, the GNSO policy work. Let's move on then to item three, the consent agenda. And there are two items on there, you will have noticed. One which was previously on the meeting for the last meeting, and that's 3.2, which is to approve the transmission of the recommendations report relating to the final report from the translation and transliteration of GTLD data working group. That's the transmission of those that recommendations report to the board. So we've seen that, and we've had, in fact, the due notice, which is why it was pulled from the consent agenda previously. So I don't expect there's any issue there. And then under 3.1, we are here approving the addition of the GNSO operating procedures of a proposed process for the selection of board seat 13 by the contracted party's house. Now, this is technically the business of the contracted party's house, but nevertheless, it is a requirement that the council approves that. So I think there's a similar document outstanding from the non-contracted party's house, which we'll see in due course, and it's simply a requirement of the GNSO operating procedures that we provide this process and transmit it and approve it as determined by each house. And so in this case, it's been determined appropriately by the contracted party's house. So any questions or concerns or issues with those two items on the consent agenda? All right. Go ahead, Amar.
Thanks, Jonathan. I have a question on the second item on the consent agenda regarding the recommendation report to the ICANN board on the translation, transliteration, final report, and recommendations. This is just a procedural question, really. The motion, the GNSO Council motion to adopt the final report and recommendations included a resolve clause asking that
Amma, unfortunately, we lost your audio there. I don't know if this... Glenn, could you confirm that it was my end? I think we lost Amma. Not. I think I'm still on. Can you just confirm that, Glenn?
Yes, indeed, we've lost Emma, but you are still loud and clear, Jonathan.
Thanks, Glenn.
And may I also take this opportunity to say that Marika has been having terrible connectivity problems, and I don't see her on the call yet.
Okay.
Glenn, this is Marika. I am on the call. I'm just not on Adobe Connect.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. Good to hear. I'm sorry.
Okay. Amar, are you back with us by any chance? Seems like we have a lot of technical gremlins floating around at the moment.
We'll try and get you back on.
Thanks. It's just that I don't really want to proceed with the vote on the consent agenda. Is an outstanding question.
We're trying to get Emma back on. He was disconnected.
I think we should do is we'll move on to item four and we'll come back to just vote on that consent agenda in a moment once we have Amma back on, specifically because he was midway through a question relating to that item 3.2. So item four deals with the public comment period for new GTLD subsequent procedures preliminary issue report. And here you'll be aware that we discussed this at the previous meeting and decided that we would... that there were various views, and the only way to resolve this, a council position on this, would be to really we weren't in a position to do something without, to just have a series of opinions or views without, if we really wanted to make formal council position on it, it would require a motion. And so the motion was duly prepared and presented by David Cake, vice chair from the Non-Contracted Parties House. David, is there anything you would like to say about this? Is there any comment or point you would like to make on the motion?
Not particularly. I think this is a reasonably straightforward motion.
Okay, so thanks, David. It is crystal clear, I hope, and the sense. But perhaps just if you could just present exactly what it says, and then we can put it to discussion.
Yeah. I mean, just to note, this was a request from staff. But clearly, as a councillor, fully think it's fully appropriate. So just to read that out. So it's a motion to request an extension of the public comment period for the preliminary issue report on new GTLD subsequent procedures, and request be extended from its current 40 days to 60 days. So simply an extra 20 days on a public comment period on this.
And David, just to note Mary's point in the chat, the staff assisted with the preparation of the wording of the motion. It's not
as
such.
Yes. Several GNSO areas have requested this deadline to ensure that we get all the public comment period in on this item.
Yeah, and so the outcome of this, as we discussed previously, will be that if the council were to vote the motion down and not accept it, the public comment period would remain at 40 days unless other groups made specific and strong motivations to staff to extend the public comment period, in which case staff may well be minded to do so in any event. If the council votes the motion up and votes to extend it to 60 days, and we discussed some of the reasons and timing around that with Steve's presentation at the last meeting, if the council votes to support that, I would imagine that staff would take that pretty much as a direction to extend it to 60 days. So the council, in essence, while it's not written in any procedure as such, has the right, as can determine an extension, but if we vote the motion down, it's not a given that it won't be extended. So any comments on the motion or the issue at hand? Volker.
Thank you, Jonathan. I think we've discussed the merits and the positions at length the last council meeting. I still have a bit of a misgiving about the council deciding without request from the or a formal request from the community to extend that.
How come you're hiding out here?
I'm on a GNSO council call for ICANN.
Oh, I see.
Hello?
Double duty. How did your release go?
Sorry?
We have a live microphone. If you could please mute your microphone.
How was the release of your private system?
Like I said, I felt it would be more appropriate for not the council, but those stakeholder groups are
constituencies. Because I thought, which I don't normally watch.
It's not the place of the council to make a determination just after the public comments have been out and there has been no formal request for extension. Therefore, I'm not in support of the motion. I will probably abstain unless the discussion takes in another way.
Thanks, Volker. Any other comments or points in relation to the appropriateness of the motion or the substance behind it? Any other thoughts or points anyone would like to make? And please note Steve Chan's points. But as we are, the public comment period will run until the 10th of October. And then the summary we can expect on the 9th of November, which is the November motions and documents deadline, for which coincides with the motions documents deadline for the next council meeting. If it is extended, as envisaged by the motion, to 30th of October, the public comment summary would be done on the 29th of November in time for a 7th of December motions and documents deadline. So, in effect, if we ask for this, we move it from one council meeting to another, although, frankly, I question whether a 9th of November public comment summary and analysis will be sufficient then to be converted into a motion on that same day. Volker, your hand is up again. Go ahead.
Sorry, old hand.
Thanks. And then Steve Chan, you have a hand up.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Steve from staff. And I just want to reinforce that point you're making right now, that 9 November delivery date is dependent upon being able to do the public comment summary analysis and the final issue report in the 30 days. I would say it's probably dependent on the level of public comment that is received and as well as the level of adjustments that are needed for the final issue report. So even though it says that it would allow us to perhaps meet that deadline, it's not necessarily a guarantee. So I just wanted to reinforce that point. Thanks.
Thank you, and that's helpful, Steve. Thanks. And I understand Brett would like to speak as well, although he's unable to currently raise his hand in Adobe. So go ahead, Brett, if you're able to come in on audio.
Actually, Donna.
I think it was Donna who asked to speak.
Thanks. Okay, go ahead, Donna.
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. So to Steve's point, we had some discussion about this motion on our registry stakeholder group call yesterday. One of the concerns that we have is that we accept that the sense of the council discussion, the last time we discussed this, was to extend to 60 days. So we would support that. But we would like on record that we don't want the timeframes pushed out any further. So what Steve has just said is a concern to us. The issue report was supposed to be posted on the 3rd of on the 8th of August, I think it was. So that slipped out 23 days to the 31st of August. We're now moving it out another 20 days. And I am concerned by what Steve has just said, that depending on the comments that come in, that we might have another slippage in the timeline. So we would the registry stakeholder group would like on the record that while we support the extension to the 60 days, we did not want any further slippage in the time frame for on this issue in particular. So we understand that this is going to be a long journey with the PDP, but if we keep seeing incremental slips of 20 days every time there's another step in the process, then we think that we're pushing this out unnecessarily. So from the registry stakeholder perspective, we support the extension to the 60 days, but we want on the record that we don't want any further slippage in relation to what is nominally identified as PDP timeframes and timelines. Thanks.
I note that Mary puts in the chat that staff will do their best, of course, to meet the deadlines. And I think really, in some ways, a question I'd have for staff, and maybe I could pose this, is if the extension is set up and the council votes to support and staff work with that extension, can you, presumably that gives you some time to start to do preliminary work, although you never know when the public comments are complete and they are often back-ended in a period. You could presumably start to do some work prior to the public comments closing. I'm not sure who from staff feels qualified to answer that, but that may help as well. And if you have a view, that would be useful. Mary.
Thanks, Jonathan. Hi, this is Mary from staff. And Jonathan, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, obviously, we don't wait till the last day of the public comment period to begin working. So we will obviously do as much as we can. That, of course, also depends on not just how many comments are submitted, but when they are. So if we do see a late last rush of a bunch of comments, then there may be a limit to what we can do. So I guess what we're saying here, too, is, you know, regardless of what happens to this motion, if the community could help us help you, in other words. So if the earlier the comments are in, I guess the faster we can get to work.
Thanks, Mary. I see we don't have a lot. It doesn't appear that there's anything particularly more anyone would like to say here. I suppose I'll take the rare moment to just reflect what I understood from the registry's discussions, and there were certainly some pretty mixed feelings about this. Many were not keen to set the precedent of accede to the extension, but there was some sympathy with or recognition that there were others in the broader community, GNSO community, who would like to see that happen. And so, to Donna's point, there was a willingness to accept that, but there was a pretty strong feeling that this shouldn't be something that was the basis for yet more and other delays. So I guess really reiterating and putting just a subtly different perspective on it than Donna did. Okay. It seems to me that we can put this to a vote now and get on with voting for the motion. So the motion, as you see, gives us the opportunity to, if we support the motion, to extend the public comment period to 60 days. So, Glenn, if we could put the motion to the floor, I think possibly we should do a roll call on this one. It's probably a good idea to do a roll call on this one. I'm not really sufficiently clear on where people stand on this. Let's do a quick roll call, Glenn.
Thank you, Jonathan. But before we do that, can I just make sure that Osvaldo Nuova is not on the call, because I do not see him in the Adobe Connect room, but I may have missed him. And I do not see him on the call either. Can we just call out to ask if he is on the call? Because he holds a proxy for Tony Holmes. Hearing nothing, I will then proceed and note that Oswaldo is not on the call. Volker Greimann.
I abstain.
Thomas Rickett. Jonathan, would you please vote for Thomas?
Tricky. I think I'll have to abstain. I'm not sure where Thomas is on this. I'll abstain.
Thank you, Jonathan. Amar El Sada? Amar? Amar, are you? I see Amar is disconnected. I'll come back to him. Susan Kawaguchi?
Yes.
Daniel Reed?
Yes.
Brett Fawcett?
Yes.
Joyce Kieran?
Yes.
Danny Holmes? is not here, and his proxy has been given to Osvaldo, and Osvaldo is not on the call. We will mark that as absence. Philip Corwin?
Yes.
Edward Morris?
Yes.
Donna Austin?
Yes.
James Bladel, Volker, will you please vote for James?
James abstains.
Thank you. Brian Winterfeld?
Yes.
Stephanie Perrin? Stephanie? I see that she's on the call. I'll come back to you. Jonathan Robinson, for yourself?
I vote yes.
David Cate?
Yes.
Adri Doria, Stephanie Perrin, are you back on? Would you please vote for Adri and for yourself? Is Stephanie in the Adobe Connect room?
Hello, sorry for the...
Yes.
Sorry for the delay. Can you hear me? Yes for me and yes for Avery.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Noted. Marilia Maciel?
Yes.
Heather Forrest?
Yes, Glenn, thank you.
Thank you. Osvaldo Nova, and I still do not see Osvaldo on the call, or is he perhaps in the Adobe Connect room? No, I do not see him there either. So that is an absent vote. And Amma Elsevier, will you please vote?
Amma voted yes in the chat, Glenn.
Oh, thank you very much. Fine. So the tally of the vote is, in the contracted party house, 57.1% yes, and in the non-contracted party house, 84.6%. In other words, there were 4 yeses in the contracted party house, 3 abstentions, and in the non-contracted party house, there were 11 votes in favour and 2 abstentions. Would you like people to provide their reason for abstaining, Jonathan?
I think that is what's normally expected, so it would be good to get that briefly.
Thank you.
For my part, I think I've stated why I have stated. I felt that the council has not been presented with compelling reasons for extending, and that if an extension had been wanted by constituencies or stakeholder groups, they should have made that request formally and then obtained this extension that way. The council itself does not need the extension, I don't think.
Thank you, Volker. And Jonathan, because you did not know which way Thomas wanted to vote.
Yeah, I think that's really, I just wasn't sufficiently directed, so I wasn't confident enough to provide anything other than an abstention. So, you know, that proxy was given at the last minute due to some technical issues. So if you could just record that I didn't have the knowledge of Thomas's intentions.
Thank you, Jonathan. So the motion carries. I believe it's 57.1 and 84.6.
Correct. Simple majority, and it carries.
Simple majority.
Thanks, Glenn. So So let's just come back to the consent agenda then, which we were held up from. I've confirmed with Amma that he is happy for us to go ahead and put that to a vote, notwithstanding the fact that he had a minor question there. So let's just vote on the consent agenda. Now here, I will simply ask if there is anyone has any objection to the consent agenda. Please make yourself known now. And anyone who would like to abstain from voting on the consent agenda, please make yourself known now. Including those who hold proxies for others. Glenn, if you could record then that all those present, including the proxies, are in favor of the consent agenda being passed.
I'll do that. Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay, with that we move on to item 5, which is an opportunity to hear an update on the work that's going on with the Vice President of ICANN's Development and Public Responsibility Programs, Nora Abasita, and Nora's kindly agreed to provide an update to us, and of course this links to the item that we talked about previously, where there was a exchange of correspondence to and from the board, which included reference to public interest, and we referred back and said, well, any guidance we can receive would be useful, and so let me, without further ado, hand over to Nora to provide the update, and then we can have a Q&A on the back of that. Nora, over to you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Can you all hear me clearly?
Yes, I think we can hear you okay. Thanks, Nora.
Great. Well, thank you for inviting me to speak today on the topic of public interest as it relates to ICANN's mission and mandate. I've had several discussions with many of you over the past year almost about this topic. It keeps popping up. And now, as you may recall, just for background, there was an attempt to try and develop a definition for public interest during the strategy panel that was led by Nikwenor, and for one reason or another, we have a long discussion about this. The definition was just not very accepted by community members. And so, but in parallel, we kept hearing from the community either references to public interest or kind of a request to tackle this very important term before we keep moving forward with referencing it and not really knowing what we're talking about. So from my discussions with the community leaders and community members, it was clear that, yes, there is a need to tackle this again. Yes, this should be done by the community, so completely bottom-up with representation from all stakeholder groups and all geographies, but we don't have time or bandwidth for it. And so what we did in the Department of Development and Public Responsibility is we thought that while everybody's busy working on all these very interesting other tracks, we can start looking internally as ICANN, and we should try and understand what public interest within ICANN's remit means to our operations. So what does it mean for the Department of Development and Public Responsibility? What will it mean for GDD? What does it mean for Susanna's Department on Operations? And we felt like this background work or research would come in very handy once the community was ready to organize itself and start looking at the definition. So where we are now is we're almost done with doing the internal research. And we have a better understanding of how staff see the term, how it affects their day-to-day work, and how they see their own work within this broad public interest reference. The advice I was seeking from you and from this group is how best to move forward, because we do understand that the need remains for a proper definition that everybody's in agreement on. We realize that nobody has the bandwidth right now, but We also want to make it clear that we've done the background work and we're happy to do more research for when you're ready. So I'd be interested to get your insights really on what more can be done from our side in the interim until the community is ready to tackle this. And, you know, we've heard some ideas about how the conversation with the community can and should start, but I think it's really premature now because I don't think anybody has the bandwidth. So what I hope to get out of this conversation is, first of all, of course, I'm happy to answer any questions, whether about the prior definition or our findings so far from the research that we've done, or even suggestions about what other research we should do. But I also would like to hear from you and get guidance on how best to carry on with this work.
Thanks, Nora. Let me hand over to the floor and see whether, what others have got to say in terms of questions or comments. And I see a hand up from Stephanie. Stephanie, go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, we hear you now, Stephanie. No longer. We heard you say hello. If you could come in, Stephanie.
Hello.
Yes, hello. I hear you say hello. Go ahead.
Ah, good. I'm terribly sorry for the delay there. I wonder if you could share with us, I take it you haven't written a report, Stephanie Perrin for the record, by the way. You haven't written a report of the research. Do you have a bibliography? It would perhaps help us to at least have the categories of the research on this topic, because there is the definition of public interest in legal precedent, which will vary jurisdiction by jurisdiction. There are differences in policy. There are telecom definitions. You know, where does one start, quite frankly? Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. We have a good list of documentation that we can reference, and I'm more than happy to send you the link. Actually, one of the questions I had for you was if you think it's appropriate for us to create a space, maybe a wiki page or something, where we can just put all the research that we've done, all the references that we've found, so that you can kind of reach in and get it when you have a moment. We're happy to do that as well. We haven't done external research yet, but the documentation that's focused completely internally should be ready also in a report in the next few weeks. So let me know if you'd like me to just send you the documentation individually, or if we should just create a space that's available to all. I mean, I'm happy to do it either way.
Thanks, Nora. I guess I was going to my question that I had was, and I see Stephanie says a wiki page would be helpful. Certainly, it feels to me like publishing and exposing your areas of research or any information you can would be helpful. I was going to ask what you thought that sort of deliverable of your work would be, and when we might expect to see that. I think you hinted at that a moment ago, but it would be good to clarify that.
Our deliverable, as we see it, is to produce a report that at least explains how the definition of public interest can affect currently, or public interest in general affects ICANN's internal operations. We can take that further and start circulating. So the way we've done the research is we've had meetings with department heads, and then we circulated the questionnaire. We can take it a step further and start looking at different community groups and kind of carry on the same research, but I didn't feel it was appropriate because I didn't want to go too far. For me, it was very important to at least understand as staff what it all means. So first deliverable is that research on public interest within ICANN's remit for internal operations. We can expand that a little bit if this group feels it would be useful.
Okay, great. Thanks, Nora. I see there's a couple more hands come up now, so let's hear from Maria. have another gremlin there, so I'll go to Donna until we...
Hello? Hello?
Hi, Maria. We hear you.
Sorry, I lost audio for a minute. Thank you very much, Jonathan. This is Marilia speaking for the record, and thank you very much, Nora, for being here with us today. Actually, I had two quick questions. One of them is related to the fact that, regardless of the fact that we don't have a clear common definition of public interest, part of the organization and the GENESO in particular has been asked by the board to look into public interest strengths, for instance. And without this definition, we feel like we need more guidance to our work. I just would like to know if when the board talks about public interest strengths, are they talking to you, and is your department working with them to try to come up with a definition, because this demand is coming from them to us, so we imagine that they have a clear idea of what they're talking about. The second question is related to development, and I see that this is one of the important points of the report, and this is one of the topics that I believe we'll be discussing in the process of reviewing the last round of applications for new GTLDs and preparing for the next one. I think that this is one of the points that we need to improve to make sure that the DNS industry really fosters development. And I don't see right now work that is being developed in this direction in particular. So just to ask you, in your future plans, if you plan to expand to this area to talk about development in the in the DNS industry and how we can contribute to your reflections on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Maria. Go ahead, Nora.
Thank you, Marilia. Two very important points. The first, we are currently reviewing the GDD understandings and implication in relation in relation to public interest and the definition. Ultimately, the challenge is it's like chicken and egg, right? We refer to it, but we're not quite sure what it is. And when you talk to different groups, it means different things. And we're finding that even internally, it means different things. To be honest, my expectation is that ultimately we may have to agree on a very broad definition that covers everyone. And then for every track, we will have some nuances that are relevant. So for GDD, it may not, what applies to GDD may not apply to my department, for example. But we're taking a close look at GDD right now to see at least what the understanding and the implications of a definition are. For the second point, one of the challenges that was met by the NICOANOR panel was that they came in thinking that they're here to look at a definition for public interest, and then they realized this was too broad and that there's a lot of development work that needs to be done by ICANN almost to streamline the projects that could qualify as development. And so one of the recommendations was to establish my department. We are constantly looking at how we can expand our work to areas that are very relevant to ICANN Dream. So one of the areas that you mentioned is certainly what we're looking at. But we are unable to move forward too much because of certain budgetary restrictions. But I'm hoping that, you know, from the conversations around this definition, there will be another push to... create new programs that are much more specialized that will tackle specific issues within our remit.
Thanks, Nora. It looks like a final question will go to Donna. Question or comment?
Jonathan, this is Amar. If I could also get in the queue, please.
Amar, you were in the queue. You go ahead first. I thought you had dropped your hand. Go ahead, and then we'll...
No, actually, I think I was behind Donna, but I've been disconnected from the Adobe Connect room, so I'll just go ahead after Donna.
Let's hear from Donna, and then Amar, and then we'll close the queue at that point. Thanks. Donna, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. Nora, I think probably what you just covered in your response to Maria was... close to the question that I was going to ask. You know, is it your expectation that you'd have one interpretation of what public interest means? And I think this is very difficult in the ICANN construct. I think from a registry operator perspective, most of the requirement as it relates to public interest has come down from the GAC. So registry operators have in their registry agreement a number of public interest, what are termed public interest commitments, and that has flowed down from GAC advice. So I think from a registry operator perspective, the link has to be made back, and certainly from the GDD, that link has to be made back to what was the GAC kind of intention with their advice when they refer to public interest. And I think that's going to be a challenge because different governments are going to have different ideas of what public interest means to them. So it's a good piece of work, but I think it's going to be a very challenging piece of work to come up with definitions or interpretations that are going to be acceptable across the community. Thanks.
Thank you, and this is really the challenge that we're seeing right now. And so we thought, at least by trying to understand what it means internally, we'll give the community a sense of the realities that we have to deal with, and then we can expand that to see what it means for the different stakeholder groups. But at the end of the day, I think what I've seen across the board is that there's agreement that we have to stick to our remit, right? ICANN is a very technical organization. If we are to start operationalizing public interest in development programs, we have to stick to what we do. We can always get creative and collaborate with others, right? But I think everybody realizes that we have a very narrow remit that we need to stick with.
Thanks, Nora. Go ahead, Amal.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thank you, Nora. I was actually going to say something along the lines of what Donna said, and I really do agree with everything she did say. And Nora, you also mentioned that when checking internally on what the public interest means to different departments within ICANN, sometimes you get different answers. And I'm sure, as you also said, you get different answers from the community, different groups within the community. I'll give you one better. In the NCSG, we can't seem to agree on how we feel the defining the term public interest should be handled. Personally, I'm very much in favor of keeping it as a subjective sort of phrase. When you look at public interest in the ICANN universe, it does pop up in a number of places, like the bylaws. It pops up in the registry agreement, in the applicant guidebook. Although in the applicant guidebook, it was mentioned as part of a limited public objection on new strings, and that was kind of tightly defined in scope and what that meant. But the thing is, I do appreciate where you're headed with your work right now, and what I feel would be an appropriate next step following that. And I wouldn't expand on your work just yet, but I think what an appropriate next step may be is once we kind of have your report on where public interest is mapped out across ICANN, maybe we should actually just decide whether it is actually desirable to define it or not, or maybe actually limit the use of its definition to a certain sphere of use within ICANN, because I think it may be very problematic to establish a definition which may have a wide variety of impacts across different uses of the word in different contexts. For example, within policy development, we did have this issue with the letter from the board on a current issues report. So I think in the registry agreement, it's also an issue. So I think a good next step would be to decide whether we actually think it is desirable to define public interest or not. Thanks.
Thanks, Summer. I know Donna's comment about the mapping across the ICANN would be a useful exercise. And I had thought I'd close the queue, but my vice chair, David Cake, has come in. So, David, looks like a last question or comment from you, and then we really must move things along. David.
My just brief comment was that, and I think I've said this a number of times, is that the outcome of this process, we shouldn't necessarily be thinking in terms of defining the public interest, but in understanding a process for how we deal with public interest concerns within ICANN processes. It may well be that trying to define the public interest is not an appropriate way to deal with that at all. That's my comment. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Nora, did you want to respond at all, or shall we move things on at this stage?
I think it's all these comments are very clear, and I've had the discussion with David, and our concern from an internal standpoint is I need to be able to say, yes, my department is working within public interest because we do X, Y, and Z. And so the exercise that we're doing right now, even if it doesn't lead, even if the community decides, okay, we don't need a definition anymore, I think it would be very useful for us. But yes, I've noted all your comments, and we will provide you with our work, and then we can revisit and see, where the community would like to go with this.
Well, thank you very much for providing your time and energy and interaction with the council. That's helpful, especially in the context that we might get asked to reference some of our work in a public interest context, and I think we can consider ourselves better informed through this discussion. So we'll look forward to hearing further updates on your work, both through exposure to your research and ultimately the output that you produce. So thank you very much, Nora.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, great. So now we move on to item six, and this is an update on the discussion paper on GTLD auction proceeds that is subject to public comment right now, and for which there will be a webinar, a public webinar coming up. But as you will recall, this is work that was essentially in many ways initiated by the council and got other groups to join us in forming a cross-community working group, or at least expressions of interest in that, and that was followed by a high-interest session in Buenos Aires, as well as a GNSO-facilitated workshop. And both of those led to the conclusion that it would make sense to draw all of the inputs to date into a form of discussion paper so that this is got really well aired prior to kicking off the actual working group. I am not sure whether Marika is in a position to make comments or remarks on that. I think you are on audio. So, Marika, let me hand over to you and give you the opportunity to make any comments or input you'd like to make on this paper before we have any Q&A.
Thank you, Jonathan. And so this is Marika, and apologies for not being able on Adobe Connect. I'm struggling with my own internet gremlins here, but hopefully you can hear me okay on the audio. I think Jonathan already said quite a few things that I was going to say as well. Basically, the discussion paper is a continuation from the discussions that happened in Buenos Aires, where on the one hand we had the SOAC high interest topic discussion that focused on this aspect, which was then followed by a workshop on the topic, which included, amongst others, a number of CCTLD registries who shared their experiences in dealing with the excess funds. The main objective of the paper itself is to provide the community in one place all the relevant information that has been shared and gathered to date, and basically allow for further input on how to proceed on the next steps in relation to this topic. There were some questions that were raised on the council list, and as I tried to explain as well in my response, this discussion paper does leave the door open for suggestions on alternative approaches to a cross-community working group, which is what has been suggested to deal with this topic and which was also floated in the Buenos Aires discussion, mainly taking into account that not everyone may have been able to provide their input or feedback as part of those conversations that happened in Buenos Aires. But at the same time, I think we also recognize in the paper that from those discussions, there does seem to be broad support, at least from those that participated in those conversations, for a cross-community working group approach, which as a result is then also the most likely step going forward, of course, unless the community decides that based on the input received, there may be another approach that is worth considering. So as such, the paper puts forward a number of specific questions that are really intended to serve as a starting point to help inform the next discussions of the drafting team that's expected to be created that would develop a charter for a cross-community working group. And some of those questions ask, how can any effort ensure that conversations are focused on the development of a framework instead of only talking about how to spend the money? what kind of intelligence gathering or expert involvement is needed, what kind of information should be available at the outset to ensure that there's a broad knowledge base and as well the benefit from other similar experiences. And I mentioned before, you know, work that the CCTLD community, for example, has been doing, and, you know, what kind of external expertise may be needed. For example, if you think about, you know, fiscal questions that may come up, and also questions relating to board involvement in the initiative, you know, what is the expected or desired involvement and role of the boards, both with regards to participation, but also how does the community expect the board to consider or deal with any recommendations that may come out of this effort, the conflicts of interest, how should those be dealt with, participation and outreach, how can we ensure broad participation and engagement in this effort, is there a linkage with other efforts that should be taken into account? You know, for example, work that's being conducted by the CCWG and accountability, which may affect the current scope and mission as defined in ICANN's bylaws, as well as the work that Benora has just been referring to concerning the global public interest. And then as well, questions in relation to implementation. You know, what is the expected scope of a CWG with regards to implementation once the proposed framework has been agreed upon? And so, as mentioned, you know, these points are really intended to start as serve as a starting point for further conversations and input, as well as identification of any other points that may need to be considered that, you know, we didn't flag in the report. So there, as Jonathan mentioned as well, that the public comment period is currently open on the paper, and it's really intended to get further input and feedback on these points, as well as anything we may have missed. I have noted, looking at the input that that has come in so far in response to the public comment forum, that most of the input seems to be specifically on how should the money be spent on or what can it be spent on. And, you know, of course, we'll make note of all these suggestions. As you may have seen, there's a specific annex that outlines all the ideas that we've been able to track to date, and we'll add those to it. But, you know, from our point of view, those are really for the community to consider in subsequent steps of the process. And at this stage, we mainly would like to encourage contributors to focus specifically on the points raised in the discussion paper and use that as you focus your development of your contribution to the public comment period. You may have seen as well, and Jonathan already referred to that as well, you know, we know that several of you expressed some concerns in relation to the closing of the initial closing of the public comment forum, which coincided with the ICANN meeting in Dublin. So as a result of that, we've extended the public comment forum to the 8th of November, so that it closes 2 weeks after the ICANN meeting in Dublin. And we also scheduled a webinar to take place on the 7th of October at 1300 UTC, which will hopefully allow us to brief interested parties on the contents of the discussion paper and encourage input through the public comment forum. So I think that in a snapshot hopefully provides you with an overview of what the objective as well as the discussion paper is, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Marika. Any comments or questions? David, I'm taking that's your previous hand from the previous section. Is there anyone else who would like to make any comments or questions at this point in relation to this piece of work that's going on? Yoav, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to state that the only thing that bothers me in this paper is that if I look at the generally, it again talks on process. There's no issues or ideas raised at this point. The only thing that I hope that we're not going to spend too much time and not too much money with all kind of experts and groups and committees and whatever in talking on how to do this instead of just talking on what to do with the proceeds. I think the goal should be to take this discussion one step forward as soon as possible and to try to do some good with this funds that ICANN is going to get, or getting already. That's it.
Can I respond, Jonathan?
Of course.
Thanks, Earl, for the point you made. And I think it's one of the things that at least came back from the discussions, I think, in Buenos Aires from different SO and ACA leaders. And indeed, that is a very important part of the conversation. But I think at the same time, everyone was also aligned – with ensuring that, of course, there needs to be a proper process and framework in place for having those conversations. So I think that's basically what we're trying to do now, to make sure that there's a proper basis and everyone knows, you know, what the steps are, you know, to get to the point where we can say, okay, this is how money can be spent or should be spent, or these are the objectives that are being set for spending and money. So I think that's what the focus on is now, but I don't think it's in any way intended to build some kind of very elaborate process to be able to do that. But it's just to make sure that the framework in place is correct and everyone is able to find themselves in that and be able to participate and contribute.
Thanks, Marika. Donna.
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. Just to Yoav's point, I think, and maybe a question for Marika, my expectation is that this is going to take some period of time for to develop the process for how to allocate the auction proceeds. I wonder if there's any value in having a parallel track that actually talks about what the community thinking is about what they wanted, what they consider would be worthy projects to spend the money on. And that can somehow inform perhaps the way that the current track is thinking about the process. Because I think it would be useful to understand what some of the community thinking is about how to spend the money in order to develop a process for how you do that. If we're talking about, you know, big chunks being allocated to certain projects, and that may have a different impact on how you actually allocate the funds. So I just, you know, I haven't really thought this through. It was just responding to what Yoav's suggestion that perhaps there is some value in having parallel tracks. And I do take Marika's point that, yes, you are keeping track of some of the community suggestions on how to spend the money, but, you know, perhaps given the amount of time that it will take to develop the process, there might be some value in having that parallel discussion about what the community's thinking is on how to spend the money. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Interesting addition to where the thinking was. Phil Corwin, go ahead.
Phil here, and just briefly, what I saw at that session in Buenos Aires and what Marika just reported is that a lot of the community are much more interested in raising ideas for how to spend this money on various pet projects or causes than they are in constructing a framework for how it should be used and in what manner. I don't have any specific projects in mind. I think a threshold questions we get into it is that whether we're going to disperse these funds all in one fell swoop for a variety of different projects. I have no doubt the community could come up with enough ideas to quickly spend the $58 million in a short period of time, or whether it's going to be some kind of endowment fund that will fund some one or two narrow areas over a long period. But so I just, you know, I think we all need to be very cautious about sticking to first principles and getting a good framework for how this general categories of how this money might be used and over what time frame it should be dispersed before we let folks rush forward with all kinds of ideas about spending. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip. I did say I would close the queue, and I have a couple of my registrar colleagues putting their hands up. So, Yoav and Volker, let's hear from you. Is that a new hand, Donna? I didn't see it previously, but let Donna speak if that's a new hand. No, I didn't think it was. Yoav and Volker, if you could be brief. I'm just mindful of the rest of the agenda we've got to get through. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll be very brief, both to Marika and what Phil said. I'm not in any way against having a good framework for this. This is very important to have a good process. I'm just saying that let's not dive too deep into the process and forget about the important stuff is what good can be done. And I really like Donna's idea, and I hope that maybe it's possible that it won't stay just as an idea, but actually something that we can push forward and have this parallel discussion. Thanks.
Thanks. Volker.
Well, I for one feel that unless that money is really burning in our all the community's pockets, or unless everybody agrees that a certain idea is the way forward, we really need a good process to avoid conflict down the road. So having a good conflict in place is the foundation for spending that money. Unless, of course, there's a genius idea that everybody could agree on, or we really need to get rid of that money right now. I mean, it's not going anywhere. Inflation is there, but okay, that's not too much of a hurt, I think. Let's get this right.
Jonathan, can I maybe make a last comment?
Yes, please do, Marika.
Yes, so thanks, and I really appreciate everyone's feedback and input, and I really hope you're going to make those same comments as well in response to the public comment forum. In response to Donna's idea, and I think part of that we have, of course, already started is, as you know, as I said, you know, one of the annexes basically outlines all the different ideas that have been made to date, and we'll, of course, expand on those as suggestions come in through the public comment forum. And maybe that could be a kind of, you know, running list that is being developed, and you could even consider, you know, some kind of wiki page where people can keep on making suggestions. And then, indeed, when the framework is in place and specific criteria have been identified, you could see an effort where, you know, those ideas that have been suggested are matched against the criteria that the community identifies, and see which ones of those could qualify. That may be a way of using what all the suggestions that are being made and are being put in, you know, to not have to wait until the day when you have a framework and then start asking people for their suggestions and ideas. So, so again, I encourage you all to provide your input as part in response to the public comment forum, and then you'll have a chance to review the feedback that comes in and decide on next steps.
Agreed. Thanks. If everyone could encourage their groups, I think this is a useful mechanism using the council to get that feedback. And of course, we initiated elements of this in the first place. So let's make sure we feed into it and keep the process healthy and alive. Right, I'll move us on rapidly to item 7, which is the discussion on and hearing around the final report of the independent examiner on the GNSO review. I hope we've got Jennifer Wolf or...
Yes, I'm on, Jonathan.
Larissa here. I think Larissa might be here to present this item to us, and so it'll be very interesting to hear that. We're in an interesting stage of this. We've got the final report, and the council's had a liaison function via ex-councillor Jennifer Wolf, who was the primary liaison to the group, and so it'll be very good to hear where the group is at, where the final report settles, and to think about what the next steps might be. So let me hand over to you, Jen. Great, I see your name in the Adobe now, so let's looking forward to hearing from you. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you, loud and clear.
Great. Thanks very much, and thanks to everybody for the time on the agenda today. We have just a few slides prepared to guide in this discussion, the first being just to update you on what our timeline has been and where we are right now. We started our work back in May of 2014 with the formation of the working party, and we have been working closely with the Westlake team throughout the process. Westlake was engaged in June of 2014 and has continued until September when their final report was issued just last week. Throughout the August of 2014 to June of 2015 timeframe, we have been working to gather data, working in consultation at ICANN meetings, and we as the working party have worked very hard to try to get as much outreach as possible and have the valid participation that we need to have good outcomes from the review. And from January to March of this year, we have been working with Westlake and looking at their working text and as it has evolved into the draft recommendations and ultimately the final recommendations. And there were some changes made to the final report that was issued last week that the working party was not able to see, and there have been some issues that have resulted from that, which I will explain in more detail. If I could have the next slide, please. The report that Westlake issued had 36 recommendations. They covered four areas. One was participation and representation. The other was continuous development, including the PDP process. The third was transparency, and the fourth was alignment with ICANN's future. And the good news is that there was, throughout the public comment period and throughout all of the feedback provided by the working party, for most of those recommendations, there was widespread agreement and discussion on how we might move that forward into implementation. Unfortunately, Westlake made a pretty dramatic departure from the draft report until the final report on Recommendation 23, which is, I'm sure, what we'll talk quite a bit about today. And the big change that they made is they completely changed Recommendation 23 and now states, in order to support ICANN's multi-stakeholder model, all Cs should have seats on GNSO Council allocated equally as far as numerically practicable by their SGs. So as you might imagine, that has created some concerns. We just received this report last week. We scheduled an emergency call on Monday to discuss how to respond to that prior to the Organizational Effectiveness Committee meeting, which is taking place on Monday of next week. And through that, we have worked this week to create a draft response, which was circulated earlier today. I apologize for the late notice on that, but we just got notice last week and have worked very hard to try to prepare something in the last few days. I'd like to go ahead and just cover the next two slides and then come back to this issue on Recommendation 23. If you could put up the next slide. What we are hoping to do as the working party that I think there will probably be agreement with is our goal is really to take those other 35 recommendations and break those down into a few categories, things that we can look at in terms of the cost-benefit, are they easy to implement, what's the impact, what's the capacity of the GNSO right now to handle any of those, should it need additional working parties, what's the alignment with the strategic direction, you know, any dependence or impact on other groups or just need for additional information. So our plan and our hope as the working party is to take those other 35 recommendations where there was widespread agreement and start breaking those down into chunks that we can build an actual workable plan and an implementation plan that we could bring back to you as a recommendation on how to go forward. If you could go just to the next slide. And then in terms of our timeline, we are looking at Westlake presenting their final report on Monday, September 28th, and that's where we have this deadline of whether or not we can provide this response, I guess I would say, to recommendation number 23. By October, we're going to be working to have our recommendations on the other 35 recommendations. As I said, there's a lot of really good recommendations that we want to work our way through. By October 16th, the OEC will consider the feasibility and make a recommendation to the board. And then in February of 2016, the ICANN board will initiate some sort of action on the final report. So we see our workflow between now and February is really taking it upon ourselves as the GNSO working party to help make recommendations for implementation of, you know, those other 35 recommendations. So I'd like to circle back now to the written statement on Recommendation 23 that was circulated earlier and just provide some context. We have had about 10 to 12 people participating on the working party calls. It has not been fully representative of all of the GNSO, so my only concern in issuing this or sending this out to the OEC is that we haven't had full participation from the entire GNSO. So what I'm hoping today is to get your feedback and direction on how we proceed with this draft response on Recommendation 23, and that do you think it's okay to send it as is on behalf of the working party? Do you think it needs more discussion amongst the entire GNSO? Do you think we can send it with some qualifier that there's been a small group and a more full report will be forthcoming? I'd really like to get some feedback from council on what you think is the appropriate with that communication. So I'll go ahead and pause here. The last couple slides are just some recaps of work that has been done, but I want to make sure we have time to get good feedback on this issue.
Thanks, Jen, and thanks for all your work within the working party. So it's clearly there's an interesting dilemma here. You've done lots of work, and we've delegated that work to you, and now the question is, do we continue to do so given the concerns you have mentioned, and how do we work with this? Volker, your thoughts?
Yes, just one question. As I understood, the final recommendation was completely changed. What was the justification given by Westlake for that? Was this in response to public comments received? Why did they feel they had to insert this new recommendation at this stage, another earlier stage, to give the community the opportunity to comment on that? Because having this in the final report kind of defeats the purpose of having a previous report if you can't put in anything you want and change everything you want
especially with controversial controversial topics.
Would you like to respond, Jen?
Sure. So the just to generally answer the question, the response was that it was after reviewing the public comments, you know, and that also it was in, you know, their discretion based upon all of the research that they had done to be able to make that change. But 100% agree, that's where those of us on the working party were very frustrated, that we felt like we had worked, you know, really carefully in tandem with Westlake all along, and then that change was made at the end. I do just want to highlight, this is just that one recommendation on all of the others. You know, we have a lot of good feedback and a lot of good data points to use, so we don't want to throw out the entire report because of this one issue. That's why we singled out this one issue, to make sure that we respond to the OEC and let them know we're very happy with all these other 35 recommendations, but, you know, we're concerned about 23.
Thank you. Let's go to Amar. Go ahead, Amar.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Jen, for the briefing. This is Amar. I have one comment that I would like to make, and I would also now like to sort of go back to Volker's question on why they included this recommendation. From my perspective as a member of the non-commercial stakeholder group, it felt like as soon as Westlake began its work, they were really working their way up to this recommendation. And we've had issues with this, starting with the working text that was made available earlier this year, I believe in January, as Jen mentioned. And the NCUC and the NCSG have been very engaged in this discussion. The Westlake team also attended the NCUC meeting during Constituency Day in Buenos Aires, and all the feedback that was provided to them was very well documented, including a spreadsheet of all the comments that were received during the Buenos Aires meeting and submitted in the public comments forum for the initial report, for the draft report and recommendations. So I join my voice with Volker's in saying that I'm very confused why they did this. But the other comment I wanted to mention is, yes, the working party did great work with the Westlake team and working with them up to the draft report. But unfortunately, it seems to me that there was no collaboration between the working party and the Westlake team on reviewing the comments and reviewing the report between the draft report and the final report. So Westlake sort of did this on their own, and that's one of the reasons why the working party was kind of caught off guard with this new recommendation 23. I would like to think that if this review was a GNSO-initiated review and not a board-initiated one, that the GNSO Council would have directed the Westlake team to work with the working party on reviewing all the comments and had received and all the research that was done before issuing a recommendation like this one, but unfortunately that was not the case. Thank you.
Thanks, Amar. Any comments or responses, Jen?
No, he's absolutely right. Unfortunately, there was not time for us to have a meeting with Westlake before the final report was issued. That happened over the August break where everybody was gone, and we tried to get a meeting. We couldn't get anybody to participate. So there was the opportunity. We just didn't have response from those on the working party to participate in that. And yes, you're right. I mean, if there could have been some additional time maybe, but we didn't have the opportunity to respond to the final report before it was issued or discuss the public comments.
Thanks, Jen. Ed?
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Jen. I would take issue with your claim that you had good data points. I mean, we've done a number of public comments on this. This study is a disaster. I mean, I made a recommendation in my public comment. We should ignore it. Non-random sampling techniques, snowballing techniques, mid-study changes. That raises questions of bias, but I don't want you to have to defend that at this point. The question I have for you is this. Accept my judgment that it's a bad study. It was designed poorly. Who do I blame? Because I don't want this to happen in the future. I've done a DIDT, and amazingly enough to me, because I've done a ton of DIDTs, never get information, ICON gave me a bit of information about the contract we had with Westlake. And it's very broad. They're supposed to look at communication, governance, and management. So what I'm asking you today is, if I'm going to go after somebody for designing a study so poorly that I can't even accept the recommendations because it's based upon such poor data, who do I go after? Is it you in the working group? Did you tell Westlake, hi, guys, no, we don't need a random study. Just do whatever the heck you want. Or did Westlake come back to you and say, this is the type of study we want to do, and this is how we're going to do it? Is one of the other things that comes into issue here is there have been some quiet allegations on this and other matters that ICON tends to choose the lowest bidder. There were multiple bidders for this contract, for contracts such as this. And thus, the quality of the work we're getting is not necessarily the quality we need. So I wonder if you could sort of comment to those questions and the ideas I've expressed.
Sure. So I'm happy to answer the questions that I can, and I'll ask Larissa from staff to supplement what I can't answer. The working party was not involved in forming the RFP or in the selection process. We were there to provide input and to try to guide the process. We did not have authority to determine how the study was conducted or what was done. We did try to help with outreach and to ensure that we had as much participation as possible, that was objective participation. And I don't know if you want to pull up the next slide on there. That might help show some of the things that we did as the working party. But to your question, I mean, if you have questions about the fundamental underpinnings of it, you can certainly, we can talk to staff. We can look at that. Certainly as there will be other reviews in the future, we want to try to learn as much as we can. I don't know, Larissa, if you want to respond to the RFP process or how that worked, but certainly as an independent examiner, that's what they are. They're independent, and this was intended to be a 360 review, and I think that is what they did. They did actually survey all facets of the organization. They set the methodology, and we were there to help follow through and help make it as effective as possible. But we did not have purview over what their methodology was or what the RFP was, and I don't have, you know, access to their contracts.
Okay, you do. If you look at the DIDP, we have a portion of the contract. It doesn't go into that bit of specificity. So I just want to make it clear that the technique itself, which is you look at the chart you have there about constituencies and stakeholder groups, and they, you know, 72% believe that this constituency is X, Y, or Z. Those numbers have no validity, A, because the sample size is so small, and B, is because it's not a random sample. So what you guys have done, or what Westlake has done, is you take this non-random sample that is statistically invalid, make conclusions upon that, and then make recommendations based upon the bad data. That's troubling to me. So
okay,
that's what I'm trying to figure out.
So
if it was a Westlake design, the problem is Westlake. It's not you, and I shouldn't be trying to blame ICON in terms of the procurement.
I think that's a good point, because you've got clearly in front of you the remit of the review working party and they, for example, did not select the vendor and had quite a clear set. But anyway, I think your points are on record and clearly made. I'm very mindful of time. I want to make sure that others get to speak as well. So let's hear from Stephanie next.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I don't want to belabor this or go into methodology. I just want to make the point that it really undermines trust in this model. I agree this was supposed to be an independent review, but that does not mean bringing in a new recommendation that has profound structural implications without it being adequately consulted as a recommendation in the comment period. I think that ICANN, in its search for greater accountability, needs also to hold its contractors to accountability. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. And I'll note Mary Wong from staff's point in the chat where, you know, Westlake were engaged as an independent examiner and that the board or structural improvements committee does not have to accept all of Westlake's recommendations. So I guess the question really, given the points that have been made, including the various that have been made by the different councillors during this discussion, is do we, notwithstanding the more general points about scope, methodology, and other points which have their place, I think right now the issue before us is, do we, as a council, do we accept the working party writing back their reservations on, in particular with regard to Recommendation 23, which is the thing that's caused the real concern recently, or is this something that the council wants to pick up on? My inclination is to say that we've delegated within the remit and the sort of purview of the working party, they are best equipped to make this response. Do others support that? And can they say that they've aired this with the council and the council has no objection to them going ahead and sending this response regarding Recommendation 23? Because I think, Jen, that's what you're asking us. How do you proceed now, in particular with this concern over Recommendation 23, which has come up from your point of view in the 11th hour, and my sense is, and maybe you can confirm this, that you were asking essentially, are we okay for you to send that response?
That's right, Jonathan. No, that's what the working party wanted, was just to make sure that we had brought this before council, that there was no objection to us sending it. We have put it out through the working party list. There has been no objection from anyone on the working party list. We knew the council was meeting today, so we wanted to take that opportunity to apprise you of it and ensure that you had no objection to us sending that. And I do just want to reiterate, I know a lot of people are concerned about the methodology. I understand all of those issues. However, you know, we have 35 recommendations that are mostly good recommendations that most of the people involved and most of the public comments were supportive of. So again, I realize some people want to attack some components of this, but we do have some good recommendations that there seems to be widespread support of, and we do want to move forward as the working party at creating an implementation plan and moving that forward. So I just wanted to make that point as well while I had the moment.
Thanks, Jen. I think we should pick up again and just make sure that there's clarity on that the role and work of the working party in implementation. But for now, I don't think we need to deal with that for now. I think what it sounds like to me you really need help with is in and around the sending of this letter. So let's, and Susan and Emma may well be wanting to respond to that. So Susan, go ahead.
Susan Kawaguchi for the record. I'm a little bit concerned in giving our blessing for this to be sent because we haven't had time to review this with our constituency, and I do know that we've had an active member on that working group or working party. So I'd be hesitant as the council to just sign off and say, yes, I understand the concerns and with Recommendation 23, but I'm not sure that the BC would argue against Recommendation 23 either. I absolutely need to go back and, you know, Phil and I need to talk to our constituency. So I'm not sure what that would do if we delay. I don't know if it's possible to delay just for a few days to talk to the constituencies and then, you know, come back. I mean, we don't have another meeting until Dublin, so.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. That's a really good point, and I appreciate you making it. So, Jen, can you give us a feel of timing here? How soon, I mean, as you know, and as Susan's reminded us, this has only just come in before the council, and whilst the case seems solid, it's certainly worth potentially pausing to check back with our different groups. What time would you ideally like, what I understand to be either a further concern or no objection from the council to the working party corresponding directly with Westlake on this? What's your time frame?
The Organizational Effectiveness Committee is meeting on Monday. So what we had discussed as a – here, there's a phone off the hook, I think.
Unmute that line, please.
There we go. The Organizational Effectiveness Committee is meeting on Monday. We had discussed as the working party if there were concerns or objections, understandably, and I know it was last minute. We just got it last week ourselves, that if there was objection to it or concern, I should say, that we could simply notify the OEC that we have concerns about Recommendation 23 and that we are working as a community to develop a formal response. And then we could set a time frame in which to provide that response. Larissa, I don't know if you want to add anything on when would be the next opportunity for us to present that information to the OEC.
This is Larissa Gernick. Jen, I just wanted to reiterate what I think you already touched on, that at the next OEC meeting, which is happening next Monday, this is the first time that they will be briefed on the final report. The committee asked for a feasibility assessment and some input on implementation to be provided by the GNSO Review Working Party, and we were planning to provide that perspective from the community as well as staff to the OEC at the next meeting, which would be in Dublin. And it's only after that, depending on their discussions and deliberations, that there would be a movement of the recommendations and the report to the full board of ICANN. So it seems that there is time, particularly given concerns and questions about this one recommendation.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that feels like we have a clear position then in my mind, and I'm just going to reiterate what I think we've got here. I think we've got the opportunity for the working party to say something for Monday 28th and say they have concerns. It's legitimate to say that the working party has concerns, but the full process to deal with those is not yet complete, and they will come back in full in future. But for now, I feel it's sufficient to say and not out of scope, said the working party does have some concerns. It feels that to let the committee go ahead and meet on Monday 28th without any correspondence from the working party would be remiss. But I accept it seems that others rightly want to go back to their groups and check whether this becomes, you know, in essence a GNSO council endorsed position or how we deal with this. So with your permission, I think what we'll do is suggest that the working party communicate the working party's view that there are concerns with Recommendation 23 and these are being discussed within the GNSO at present, and a fuller expression of those concerns may be forthcoming in the near future. Okay, well, thank you, Jen. I think that deals with that now, and it's clearly a live issue, and so keep us posted on the council list, and we'll work with you and the working party to deal with this. And we have that draft for councillors to share with their groups and see whether they endorse it in current form or would like changes to it, and so we'll continue to work with you on that.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, well, thank you again. It seems like there's a lot of work gone into this. We need to move rapidly on to item 8, which is the update from the cross-community working group that Leon has patiently sat with us during our meeting in order to be able to update us on. So many thanks, Leon. Let me hand over directly to you, Leon. I think what we need here is what we've done, just to put this in context, is we have continually kept the council appraised of the work going on in the CCWG. And so I guess what we need is a brief summary of what the pertinent issues are right now. What are you currently grappling with, in particular in relation to this forthcoming meeting on 27th, 28th, and any overarching timetable issues? Because up until recently, the council could reasonably have been expecting that the GNSO might be dealing with your final report in Dublin, and I understand that's now very unlikely. So let's hear from you, Leon, and try and get an update.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. This is Leon Sanchez, one of the co-chairs for the CCWG, and I'm mindful that we are already over the scale, so I'll be brief. So we closed our second public comment period some days ago, We are now gathered here in LA to continue reviewing and hopefully finalize reviewing the comments received in the second public comment period. And we received over 90 comments, mostly, 90 comments. And from those 90 comments, 19 were supportive of the overall proposal, while 3 were against most or all of the proposal. And the principal areas in which comments were received were with regards to the single-member model, the voting allocations, and the community forum, the IRP, the GAC role, the principles, stress test, human rights, the board recall process, and the budget veto power. So these are the outstanding issues. While there are some hints of support or overall support in each of the community powers, we still are receiving some comments that some details or a lot of details should be fleshed out before achieving broad consensus or full support to this proposal. So, as I said, we will be focusing here in LA on trying to bridge in these gaps, and as to whether we will be able to hand our final proposal to the chartering organizations in order to be voted in Dublin. As you rightly said, Jonathan, this is unlikely to happen. However, we would like to try and achieve this goal here in LA, but it seems like it's going to be difficult to have it handed to the chartering organizations in order to be voted in Dublin. So, yes, the timeline, as originally planned, is highly likely to be shifted some weeks or maybe a couple of months more. So, of course, we will be updating you with the relevant information when time comes. I think that this meeting we're holding here in LA will be, of course, crucial to the process. And as some of you may know or may be aware already, there is also some comments. There were also some comments by the board in which they are proposing an alternative model to what the CCWG has proposed in its second draft report. And while we will be meeting with the board members in LA, having them attend our regular session, it is important to state that this is not a meeting in which we will be negotiating with either the board or NTIA, which will also be present here in LA. But we will be listening to their concerns, of course, as just we have listened to all of the stakeholders in this process, and we will, of course, take into account their concerns and their comments. But I think it's important to highlight that this is not a meeting in which we'll be focused on negotiating any output. We are giving, of course, due consideration to all comments, and we will continue to listen and to take into account to everything that the community as a whole has to say to the CCWG. And with this, we will hope to find a way forward very soon so we can finish, of course, our document and then forward it to the chartering organizations. To give you an example of some comments received with regards to the different subjects that I highlighted, with regards to the single-member model, we received some comments that support the possibility of the community powers. But, of course, they are asking, the community is asking for a little bit more of detail on these community powers before giving us their full support. I believe that some line might have dropped off. So if we could please mute that line. Thank you. There is also a signal for preference in simplicity. it is perceived that some parts of the proposal might be complex. So we received comments that are asking for a more simple solution. There, with regards to the IRP, for example, we have support for the IRP enhancements, but there are also some concerns, of course, on the details, on the cost and funding, and there are some questions about standing, who would have standing to invoke the IRP and how participation would be undertaken under these new enhanced IRP. With regards to the GAC role, there is overall support for stress test 18, and of course we received some concerns from government on possible limitations to GAC deliberations, and that this proposed stress test 18 could add some level of complexity and would, from their point of view, provide or give a de facto veto power over GAC advice. So this is the point of view from some governments, and we will be, of course, assessing those comments and taking them into account in order to build our next document. On principles, we have some concerns on contract enforceability, some concerns on GAC advice overriding bylaws and mission if we don't implement stress test 18, of course, and core value number 7. There is also a concern with regards to the definition of private sector. We've been signaled that the definition as stands might not leave room to governments. And there is also a general concern that ICANN should not be a content regulator. In other fields, the human rights language is something that has been well received by the community. There is overall support for including some kind of language on human rights into the bylaws, but of course we still have no agreement on which kind of language we would be introducing, and the community has signaled some concerns in this regard, so we will be also analyzing that in our meeting here in Leigh. With regards to the board recall, there is wide support for this power, but there are also some concerns on the thresholds and standards to exercise this power, and also the standards and requirements to appoint a caretaker board or an interim board should the board recall power should be exercised. And finally, with regards to the budget approval and reconsideration power, there is general support to this power, but there are also some concerns over possible paralysis if the community decides to review many times or with a very little standard the budget, and this could, of course, leading to some kind of paralysis within ICANN or the PTI. So I think I should pause here, and I will open the floor now and hand it back to Jonathan for questions or comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Leon. That's a pretty comprehensive and systematic update. Thank you very much. I will hand over to Phil right away, just noting it's 5 minutes to the top of the hour. Phil, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. And very quickly, just wanted to mention two things. One, I posted a very long article about the CCWG process over the last month at CircleID.com last night that some people at least have told me was very helpful in understanding where things stand. And second, if council members are not aware, the NTIA posted a new blog post by Larry Strickling late yesterday, in which he said two very important things. One, that the current proposal did not contain enough detail for the NTIA to evaluate whether it met their criteria, so basically saying we need a lot more specific detail before we get a proposal, and also advising the CCWG to make sure it has broad consensus support before something is forwarded to NTIA, which not necessarily, but might imply that if extensive changes are made as a result of the review of the 90-plus comments, that another comment period might be required to assure that there is consensus support for whatever comes out. So I'll stop there in the interest of time, but wanted to point those out. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil, and for drawing attention to the blog. It's actually been pretty active on the web the last couple of days with a lot of commentary. And I suppose that the bottom line is that it does seem to be reaching some sort of inflection or critical point. And to the extent that any of you are able to participate in and provide reasoned and reasonable input, either through your groups, your representatives, or otherwise, it seems like now's the time to, in an informed way. All right. I guess we're probably all a little tired. It's coming to the end of the two-hour session. I'm going to skip over again to that. It's not desperately urgent. It's important that we do deal with it, the work on the ICANN meeting strategy. But I don't think we have it, it's sort of work in progress. So I think it's probably necessary to pick up on the two items in any other business for the moment, which are more urgent, and that is that there is an opportunity for leadership training at the ICANN meeting in Dublin, and we have not at this stage put forward a candidate for that. I can't seem to scroll the agenda anymore. It looks like it's sitting on the – if we could scroll to AOB, please, whoever could control of that. Thank you. We don't have anything recorded there anyway, but I have notes that there's the outstanding item on the leadership training, and so I don't know if anyone from staff can speak to that or if there's anyone who can give a little bit of clarity on that just to make sure it's... And I'm sorry, just before I go to Marika on this, I forgot to thank you, Leon, in my rush to work our way through. Thank you very much. I did say thanks at the end of your presentation, but we sort of moved off the item rather quickly because of the clock. So thank you again. Marika. Marika, no sound at this point. Oh, Gremlin. Okay, well, I'm going to say that there is an opportunity for leadership training. This is for individuals who are within their particular groups or on the council who have, in broad terms, leadership responsibilities in stakeholder groups, constituencies, or on the council, and there is an opportunity to participate in that. It's getting late in the day to get involved. Please check what's been sent to the council list, and if you or someone you are aware of in your group is particularly motivated or interested, there have been some positive responses to this, please let us know as soon as possible so that we can look at the possibility of including you. And I see Philip has also put in a link to his blog. And Marika reminds me and points out that the GNSO council slot is a slot that the council can take advantage of. Doesn't necessarily mean it's for a councillor, but that the council can nominate someone for that slot is an addition to those that have been reserved for stakeholder groups and constituency reps, but we would need that name ASAP. So if anyone on the council is aware of either themselves or a member of the council or someone whom the council might reasonably put forward for this role, please let that name be known on the council list as soon as possible because the opportunity will evaporate shortly. Separate to that, I see Amar is now disconnected, and which means we're at the top of the hour, which is somewhat unfortunate. I don't know why we've had such myriad minor issues this time. It's normally we have a much more seamless performance, technically at least. I think I'm going to have to call the meeting to a halt, given that we've just passed the top of the hour, and I'm going to ask Amar to please make his points and engage in the discussion on the GNSO Council Chair election online, and apologies that we haven't been able to include you on audio on that. So thanks, everyone. Apologies again for the little glitches that seem to have been haunting us, but I think we've managed to get through quite some substantial business.
thanks very much for all of the contributors and contributions from councillors. Of course, we work our way towards our face-to-face meeting in Dublin, and please do pay attention and give any input that you possibly can in relation to the weekend's work on the accountability, ICANN accountability work. Thank you. We'll be in touch online and in person in Dublin. Thanks, staff.